Welcome to the Massachusetts Youth Soccer Association Final Score Podcast, assisting the development of players, coaches, referees, and administrators one episode at a time. Now, here's your host, Marcus Cole.
Welcome to the podcast. We have another great show on tap. Excited to welcome Rebecca Toutant, Clinical Nutrition Specialist, Division of Sports Medicine, Boston Children's Hospital. Rebecca, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
We're excited to have you here because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects and probably the favorite subject of a lot of our athletes out there, food and the holidays. So many wonderful things go on during this time of the season, getting together with friends, getting together with family, and of course, all those wonderful, delicious treats and things that we don't normally get on a regular basis. We only get during this type of season. And we want to talk to our athletes and kind of give them a little bit more information about how they can go about and enjoy the food of this time of the season. So let's jump right in. First thing, nutritionally speaking, what mentality should our athletes have when it comes to fueling their bodies during the holidays?
I think that's a really good question. I mean, the nutrition mentality. Certainly, we need to be thinking about our performance and the nutrients and the foods that we need to support our performance. But at the same time, part of that whole approach has to be including foods that provide social, emotional connection as well. So certainly we're still thinking about making sure that we are meeting our nutrient needs, right? Making sure we're getting enough energy in overall and all those particular nutrients that really support and drive us forward. But it can't be at the expense of what it really means to live and connect during the holidays.
You know, so you only get grandma's fudge one time a year, and it's such a bummer to be able to have to pass on something like that. So certainly a great message to our athletes to enjoy that and be mindful of all that. Obviously, it's really important from a nutritional standpoint to be fueling your body on a consistent basis. Even if you're not out there in regular training sessions, sometimes we have more breaks, we have less frequent training sessions. I know many athletes seem to think that, well, you know, I'm not training, I'm not doing a whole lot, so I don't need to eat as much as I normally do. But there's a level of consistency that these athletes should be mindful of. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And even, you know, to what you said earlier, grandma's fudge isn't harmful, right? But grandma's fudge doesn't provide everything that our body needs, right? So it is really making sure that we're getting the different pieces of the puzzle together to kind of move us forward. You know, if we're moving into the holidays and it's a bit of a downtime where we're not doing quite as much physical activity, that doesn't mean our body doesn't still need the nutrients and the benefits of nutrition. I mean, it's really normal in the time immediately following training that appetite stays pretty similar to what it is during training, because often when we're in the middle of our training, we're not quite keeping up with our energy needs. And so when we're first moving into this rest period, there is a lot of like restoration and rebuilding that needs to occur. And that's going to come from food because we can't build from nothing. So there's a bit of a catch-up period initially when people kind of chill out on their training schedules.
One thing that I want to talk to you about, and I know this is a sensitive subject for a lot of people, and I don't think we talk about it as much as we should. What are some things that parents or family members can do to help their athletes with the family that they don't see often, except maybe during the holidays, when it comes to their fueling habits? I know a lot of food shaming goes on during this time, especially with female athletes. What can parents and other family members do to help not do that?
Oh, yeah. If you're the perpetrator, you're kind of experiencing it, right? It all depends. There are so many food and body comments around social gatherings, whether or not it's during the holidays. Just anytime we get together with people and food is in the center, it can bring out a lot of questions and even insecurities for folks. Sometimes the comments come from, you know, people, it's getting targeted at an individual. Sometimes it's people making comments about themselves, and still others, it's like people just talking about people in general. And how to respond and what to do really does depend on the relationship that you have with someone and really how much you're interested in sharing about your perspectives and your boundaries, if you will. I always remind clients that like a family member making comments in any fashion is often more about them than it is about you. So there's a lot of like just personal insecurities that come out around social gatherings. I mean, I see that people have really three options, right? You can change the subject or redirect. You don't even have to acknowledge that someone said anything. You can just smile and start talking about the weather, the drive. You can compliment their hair, right? Anything to like shift the conversation back to something, and asking a question about something else is a great way to redirect. You can set a boundary, right? You can thank them for their concern or their comment and just reassure them that you're all set and there's nothing that they need to do. You can share your experience if you like, but that's not something that's required. You don't need to go out there and convert everyone at the party into a different way of thinking. You don't need to let them know where you're at in your own journey with food or body, but certainly that is an option if that's someone that you feel close with and you want to share a little bit more information. It's hard because people can feel attacked sometimes if that isn't their intent. And so sometimes putting people on the defensive isn't always super, super helpful. So you kind of have to gauge your relationship with the person and decide how to respond from there.
It's a very hard situation because I know that a lot of family members don't mean it the way that it came out of them, or they didn't mean to cause harm. They're just surprised that their little, you know, Susie is eating a lot and consuming a lot of calories, but what they don't see on an everyday basis is the level of activity that Susie has, where she requires that many calories just to properly fuel her body. And, mm-hmm. you know, my daughter was, you know, collegiate athlete, and I've always told her, you know, you're never going to look like your friends. You're never going to look like those people outside of your team or other athletes that are in the same boat type of thing, because you're different people. You have different requirements, different body types, different fueling types. So certainly, you know, do your best to deal with that during the holiday season. We're talking to Rebecca Tutant, a clinical nutrition specialist, division of sports medicine at Boston's Children's Hospital. With it being so cold out and it's hard to stay hydrated, I know it's a problem with me of drinking water when it's cold out. It's so easy when it's hot and it's humid. Why is it so important for athletes to consistently be hydrated, especially during these cold times?
Mm-hmm. I mean, hydration is really important for almost every level of performance. It's needed for everything that our body does. And when we see a 2% loss in body weight, for example, from dehydration, we start to really see an impact on how well we can perform and even recover. We kind of miss out that in the, just because it's not cold and we don't really, well, when it's warm, right, we're kind of seeking out more of those refreshing experiences and we get the visual loss of fluid, if you will. But we tend to forget that in colder weather, we lose a pretty significant amount of fluid just from breathing and bringing in this dry, cold air. And sometimes people can find it challenging to drink because they're feeling cold and they don't want to bring in more cold experiences. And so even changing the temperature of your beverages can be helpful to kind of keep that hydration coming in and keeping on a kind of a regular schedule or routine to make sure that we're keeping up with our fluid needs.
And also, too, one thing athletes should keep in mind is you don't necessarily need to get all your hydration from water mm-hmm. or beverages. You get a lot of hydration from various foods. So great time to experiment during this time of year, getting some of that hydration from your food. Mm-hmm. As we wrap things up here on the podcast, one closing piece of advice to our athletes, if they have a bad couple of days of fueling and they're feeling sluggish because of it, what are some simple things that they can do to, quote unquote, get back on track so that they feel better themselves? Not necessarily from I need to be eating better, but just, you know how you get. I mean, what can they do?
I think this is a great question because we do have to be careful with the word quote unquote bad. Like, what does that even mean? And how much of what we're feeling is from the psychological stress, the feeling like we did something that we quote unquote shouldn't, versus the physiological experience of like just kind of our nutrient needs getting a little bit shifted. And sometimes even if we're going into those periods of feeling like we're eating bad, are we even meeting our needs if we're not eating enough during that time? So we do have to be a little bit careful in terms of like thinking of food as like good or bad or right or wrong. Like it really does all have its place. And sometimes even the other aspects being involved in like this kind of social season can be what's leaving us feeling more sluggish, like could be dehydrated or our sleep gets a little bit messed up or we're studying more and a little bit more stressed out. Like it might not all be about the food. But if we do go through periods of time where we're kind of feeling different about how we're eating, and that's bringing up different emotions, please don't try to like undo or make up for what you were eating or any kind of that shift. That often leaves people in a bit of a cycle, if you will, where they're kind of overcorrecting and then they're out of balance and then they're feeling sluggish because they're not eating enough or they're, yeah, we want to just kind of get back to a regular, consistent routine, you know, where we're eating every 3 to 4 hours, we're giving our body that blend of like foods and nutrients that we need with our proteins and our whole grains and our produce items and like the fat mixed in regular intervals. I wouldn't try to like overly manipulate things just based upon what we think we did or didn't do, if you will.
Great pieces of advice, certainly make things a whole lot easier for our athletes as we navigate fueling during the holiday season. Rebecca Tutant, Clinical Nutrition Specialist, Division of Sports Medicine at Boston Children's Hospital. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope everyone has a wonderful social season this winter.
Thank you for listening to the Massachusetts Youth Soccer Association Final Score Podcast. Remember to give our podcast a 5-star rating. This will help get the word out to others and let them know about our program. Copyright 2023. All rights reserved.